Monday, 10:45. Oh, God, Richard Fallon. Haven't seen him for ages. How strong am I feeling?
So, Richard, good to see you again. How are you?
You saw it, then?
I'm sorry?
The television.
Do you want to be a little more specific?
Me? Me on the television? I can't believe you didn't see it.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't really watch much TV.
But the whole bloody world saw it. Which you'd think would be a good thing, wouldn't you?
Well...
The problem being that I am now the laughingstock, not just of Westminster, but the entire country. And there are 5 more episodes to go. I can't believe you didn't see it.
As I said, Richard...
You didn't even read about it.
I'm afraid not,
good
no.
Good Lord, where have you been? It's all over the papers. You'd think an edict had gone out. Every time Richard Fallon leaves the house, point and laugh, everyone, point and laugh. People are so cruel and self-righteous nowadays. They're outraged by everything that crosses their radar. And I haven't even started on the internet trolling thing. Have you heard of this troll business? I mean, you probably thought trolls were small plastic dolls with coloured hair you could stick on the end of pencils.
Well, no, I do know about...
Or all that Nordic Peer Gynt Wagner stuff that sends you into a coma just thinking about it. But now, there are people with names like Cat's Pajamas and Up Yours who write terrible things about you. Well... me, on the BBC News website. And I don't go onto the Guardian site in case I'm tempted to look at the comments page. But the thing is, it's like an awful magnet drawing me to it. I can't help it. And I know Rebel keeps saying there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Rebel?
Yes, awful, isn't it? Her parents were hippies or something. Someone should have stopped them. She's got a brother called Dragon. Anyway, she's my new PR person. I decided, after Piers and the Russian prostitute palaver... That sounds like a Marjorie Allingham novel, doesn't it? Anyway, I decided I needed a woman in charge of my PR. A woman who went to a comprehensive school, who hadn't been at Pony Club Gymkhana's with David Cameron's second cousin. And now look at the mess I'm in. One of the reviews said I came across like the bastard son of the Prince Regent and Benny Hill. I mean... I never found Benny Hill remotely funny, did you? He always made me feel a bit queasy, to be honest. And now I've lost my train of thought again. Where was I?
Richard, I haven't seen you for some time. Perhaps you need to fill me in a little here. I mean, you're clearly very distressed.
I'm more than distressed. I'm absolutely furious.
Let's go back to the beginning, shall we?
What? To when I was a schoolboy, the size of Australasia? What would be the point? I mean, we've been through all that.
No, Richard, no. The television... Why have you been on television?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I still can't believe you haven't seen it.
Trust me, I haven't.
Well, it's a fly-on-the-wall thing. Follows six MPs as they, you know, go about their daily life. It's supposed to make MPs look more human, more approachable. They see us rinsing our smalls out in the sink, that sort of thing, so the audience can go, oh, look, he's not a person with a borderline personality disorder fiddling his expenses. After all, he's actually a lot like me. Look, he's just shrunk all his jumpers on a boil wash, and now they'll only fit a finger puppet. And I have to say, I had a similar idea myself some time ago, if you remember. I was thinking of doing a blog about the crazy world of Westminster, you know, what it's really like to be an MP. But I never really worked out how to go about it. It's all very well people saying, why don't you do a blog? But no one ever tells you how to actually do it. I mean, I can do a PowerPoint... a bit, and emails, so I'm fairly computer literate, although spreadsheets are beyond me. And blogging, I wouldn't even know where to start. Sorry, what was I talking about?
A fly-on-the-wall documentary. I take it you're one of the MPs.
Right, yes. And can I just say, I think that something has gone very awry in the editing process, because I come out of it very badly. I look a complete tit. I mean, the way they cut it together, well, it's cruel and unfair. That's the only word for it. The only two words. I mean, obviously, it wasn't helped by the vicissitudes of my actual life during the filming process. I was still getting poo in the post for a start. And I said, explicitly, let's just leave the poo out of it, can we? Let's not give the perpetrator the oxygen of publicity. or publicity, as the Sun put it yesterday. And anyway, they said, yes, Richard, of course, Richard, we wouldn't dream. We're not trying to make you look a fool, Richard, or a complete tosser or anything like that. And of course they were lying, because that's exactly what they were trying to do.
What about the other MPs?
Well, they don't come out of it as people you'd want to spend quality time with, but, you know, compared to me, they look like paragons of sanity and reasonableness. There was one bit in last week's episode, OK, which I asked them to cut, because it involved Toby, my plus-size son. And unbeknown to me, Toby went behind my back and asked them to keep it in. I mean, what was he thinking? I was mortified when I saw it. I couldn't believe they kept it in. I mean, can you imagine?
Can I imagine what? You're not giving me much to go on here, Richard.
Sorry, I keep forgetting you didn't see it. Anyway, in the film, I'm pottering about the living room, checking emails from deranged constituents on my phone, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff, although one, which I actually read out to the film crew to show the sort of stuff I have to deal with, involved a woman complaining she'd gone on some online swap forum wanting to swap her budgie for a quilted dressing gown, and the other party took the budgie but didn't fulfil their side of the bargain, so she was sans budgie, sans dressing gown, and what was I going to do about it? I think that was the gist of it. She's emailing me five times a day. Anyway, in the middle of all this, there's a piercing shriek from the next room. I mean, piercing. And I can see the camera crew's eyes light up. They're thinking, oh, fabulous, a bit of drama. And Toby comes rushing in wearing just a T-shirt and a huge pair of boxer shorts, one side of which he yanks down in front of the camera crew and screams, look what they've done to me. And there, on his mountainous, wobbling right buttock, is a tattoo of, well, take a guess. Go on.
A heart with a dagger through it. An anchor?
No, a very bad but quite recognisable portrait of someone. Take a random guess.
Martin Luther King.
No.
I give up.
Wayne Rooney.
I see.
He has a tattoo of Wayne Rooney on his right buttock.
Oh, dear.
And at this point, he bursts into tears and says, I asked for Rihanna, who apparently is a female pop star. Did you know that? I didn't. Why you'd want a portrait of anyone on your buttock is beyond me, but, you know, he's 15. Much too young, in fact, to get any sort of tattoo, so obviously my lawyer will be contacting the tattooist responsible, although, as Toby pointed out, he didn't have a parlour or anything. He did it in the park, apparently, behind the sports hut, so there are probably going to be a few problems tracking him down. Anyway, all this happens in front of a bloody camera crew, and Toby decides to keep it in the edit because he says it shows how fat people are bullied and victimised. Personally, I think it was nothing to do with Toby being vast. I think it was a language problem because evidently the tattooist was Estonian. Anyway, I'm looking at this terrible picture of Wayne Rooney thinking, you know what, Toby, when you lose the weight, which you will, because I did, that tattoo is going to shrivel and you're going to have a portrait of the old bloke from Steptoe and Son on your bottom. Wilfred Bramble, I think his name was. Anyway, now I've got to pay for it to be lasered off or changed into something else. But, you know, what can you change Wayne Rooney into? A map of Central America? And of course, all this happened just after I'd taken my cashmere sweaters out of the washing machine, and they were absolutely tiny because, as I said, I'd accidentally put them on a boil wash. And you have to bear in mind that all of this is on film. So now I look like someone who doesn't understand washing machines because I usually have servants for that sort of thing. That's what a woman shouted at me in the street yesterday. I mean, how much does she think MPs are paid, for heaven's sake? Crikey, after I've paid maintenance to my ex-wife and my rent in London, I'm only one step above the dog food option, believe me, and not even the fancy dog food in little foil trays, just bog-standard stinky stuff in a tin. And now, on top of Toby's disfigured bottom, I also have to contend with the knowledge that I'm going to be making a complete arse of myself on a TV near you every week for the next month. Honestly, I could shoot myself. But first, I'd have to shoot Rebel because the whole thing was her idea in the first place. God, what a stupid name. I could kill her. Why on earth did I agree to do it?
Well, that's the question, isn't it, Richard? Nobody forced you to do it, did they?
Well, I mean, in a sense, I was forced into it.
How?
Well, the whole thing, you know, the whole... I mean, you can't... You have to. If you're an MP, you know, you have to.
What?
Make a bit of a splash. Don't you? Otherwise, you may as well... I mean, you'd be stuck on the back benches in, well, basically complete obscurity.
And would that be a problem?
Well, of course it would be a problem. I mean, as I've said before, there are limits. I wouldn't put on a leotard and pretend to be a cat. I wouldn't put on a leotard, period. God, no. I mean...
Richard, can I ask you something?
Yes, of course.
What is the function of an MP? Or rather, what do you think it is?
The function of an MP?
Yes.
Well, God, that's a tricky one.
Is it?
Well, I suppose... Look, I know what you're getting at. You're thinking, why aren't I out there representing my constituents instead of getting all het up about some TV programme?
That would be one way of putting it.
But when you're a nobody, festering away on the back benches, never catching the speaker's eye, you're reduced to doing Sudoku in the back row next to some shoo-in with a safe seat who's basically counting the days to his or her pension whilst making full use of the subsidised bar.
You seem to be speaking from experience, Richard.
Well, I don't do Sudoku, mainly because I don't know how to, but the point is, if I'm to be of any use to my constituents, I need a bit of clout, for God's sake. I need to be, you know, visible.
You've been painfully visible over the last little while, Richard, and by your own admission, it's not been an unalloyed success, has it?
I think that's a bit... harsh. Although, frankly, I think the levels of humiliation I'm experiencing at the moment, well, they're off the scale. I mean, I'm going to have to go into hiding after episode 3 airs. I'll be finished.
What happens in episode 3?
I sat on a Jack Russell belonging to a constituent.
I see. Did it...
Yeah. I killed it. There was a sort of cracking sound and a yelp.
Oh dear.
I mean, it was old. It was on its last legs, but oh my God, it's a nightmare. It's going to be on national TV the week after next.
I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this week, Richard. Do you want to take a tissue?
I'll just use my sleeve. It's all right. I mean, this is the level I've sunk to. I'll see you on Friday. Episode 2's on tomorrow, by the way, if you're interested.